Well, are we going to be talking about art, or...
This is an interview with Perry Hilton, the material to be used for a biography of Arthur Evans. Perry, I've just finished asking you where you first got involved with the unemployed. Would you like to tell me again where your first involvement with them was, in camps or in organizing?
Well, up at the... I ran up against two individuals as was... ex-servicemen from the First World War in Alberta. And I'm coming through to BC to get away from the cold winters and settle down there after being out in Australia for a couple of years. So these two individuals, they wanted feeding. I said, well, the only way that I'm going to feed, I said, according here to Canada at the present time, is just walk into the best restaurant, sit down and eat, and then hand the bill here to the Northwest Mounted Police. Well, the guy says, you can't do that. Well, I said, well, have you got any other ideas you can do? I said, you're hungry now? Yeah. You're ex-servicemen? You fought for the country? Have you got any other ideas besides what I've been saying? If you haven't, that's the way I'm going to do it. If you've got a better idea, I'd like to listen to it. Well, they couldn't. So they said, well, how about if we come in with you? Fine and dandy with me. The restaurant is wide open. Well, why shouldn't we go into this little Chinaman? I said, well, I always like here, if I'm going to have a free meal, the best place. So I'm going right here into the best hotel restaurant. And they had no other option but to either drop out or come. Well, the big guy, Bill, he says, if you're going in there to eat, he says, I'm going into it. So the other guy, he just crawled along with us. But he didn't like coming in, but he didn't mind starving. So he says, when the meal is over, he says, how about letting me get out through the back, and then each one come through the back, and we want to, I said, look, we come in through the door, the front door. Now you guys, up to you. If you want to go out the back or out the front or whichever way, that's up to you. But I'm walking out here just the same way as I walked in. And I said, I'll tell them here that there's no money here to be got and who can pay it. So anyway, cut it short. The big hotel, he just said, look, you guys get moving. He says, if you haven't got any money, he said, can't you pay here for the cigarettes that you had? No, we can't even pay for the cigarettes. But I said, we're willing to wait here for the police to come round and take us in hand, and they can give us here 10 days, 30 days worth. But when they do, you taxpayers in this town is going to pay here for our time in jail. So please yourself. And I said, if we're free, then we're going to carry on the bank with them. That's where we come from. So anyway, he turned us loose. And we got on the next train, headed for Calgary, and from Calgary we went up here over the mountain. When we got into field, we were going to go to the police there and ask them here for a leave. In fact, we did do it. And on all the doors in field, it had on there, nobody here to start bumming the people. Well, I didn't out bumming the people anyway, because some of them had here less than what I got. I did have a pair of shoes on, and some of them, I didn't even have that. So I didn't feel like bumming the people. And the other two guys who were with me, they said, well, whatever you're going to get yours, they're going to get theirs. So I went into the police station there, and they'd had it nicely decorated up, and it was raining like the devil. Got the guys here in and started here looking around for a bath, no bath water at all. So the cop, he come in later on, and he said, what are you guys storming around in here for? He said, go on. He said, get out. He says, and don't come back around this town at all. And he said, don't take the freight out. Well, that meant he'd walk. So I told him, I says, how long have you been across here from England? A month? 2 months? He said, what's that to do with it? Well, I said this. These guys here, or we, went to fight for this country years before you ever come in here. And you're going to tell us when we're going to eat and when we're not going to eat? Well, I said, I'm damn good and hungry now. And I tell you, before I go out of this town, I'm eating. He said, look, get out of there. He said, I'll put you in jail. Well, I said, you might even have the chance to put us in jail, too. So we went out. Asked him, he says, for the last time, are you going to give us some money to get some freedom from the government? No. Well, I says, don't forget. So we walked down here to the best hotel in that town, Pearl, and sat down to the table, ordered the meal, and who should come in? The policeman. And the cop said, well, I thought you didn't have any money. Oh, I said, we ain't got no money, but we're eating. We're not going out of this town, aren't we? He said, and who's going to pay for it? I said, you're going to pay for it. Yeah, you put us in the coop and let somebody else take care of that poor. Anyway, we got sold out of that. He told us, he said, catch the next train out, and whatever he done here with the bill, I don't know, but that's where you... And we're heading for Vancouver.
It wasn't always that easy, though, for people.
Oh, no, that's...
There were a lot that did go to jail.
I think the only thing that saved us from going to jail at that time, Gene, was ex-servicemen, First World War, and they didn't want to have no case here with us here coming up at that time. And they were glad to pay out a little, 20 cents, 30 cents for the meal at that time, plus the cigarette and tobacco.
But keep you moving.
Just to keep us moving. Mm-hmm. So, and we were glad to just take the train and keep on moving. In the winter, there's snow up there in the field. We didn't want to be up in there. We want to get closer to Vancouver. So down here to Kamloops. And at Kamloops, they had the big soup kitchen there. I think they used to put dirty socks in the water, first to make here the thing look black, and then dish it up here to the guys as soup. Because there was never no meat, no vegetables, nothing. Just black-looking water. And there used to be anything here, 300-400 people, guys coming there, but that's all they had was soup. So we decided we were going to get some better food than that. We got about 150 guys together, and a guy by the name of Murphy, and a good little organizer, similar to the person as what your dad would be, after I got to know him later. Murphy said, look, he said, I want you guys to stick with me. He said, if I know you're going to stick with me, he said, I'm going to demand that we get a full course meal, steak and eggs, and what goes with it. No more of this soup. So we promised him we would. There was five of us. So he said, well, now we'll get more. So they called on here the rest of the camp to come in. There was about 120, as they just run away from us completely, as if we'd got here measles or some fever. Anyway, Murphy was the one that spoke for us, and we was the one to stand with him. He got a hold of the tall Englishman, as was over the camp, and he says, we'll give you Slim, I think it was four hours to get us full course meal, steak and eggs, and breakfast in the morning of bacon and eggs, and we want them the meal tonight and the next one in the morning. And then we'll tell you what we're going to do from then on. So Slim says, can't do it. Well, he said, you better, because if you're not, you're going in the river over there. Because we were sighted at the Thompson then. So we got on the phone and called up here the police. The police come down, 35 on them, and provincial, and they was going to handle the question. But anyway, we stood fast, and they told them, they said, you better get these people and feed them. So they went upstairs or where they went to. The meal come on the table within the 4 hours. We had good feeding. Then that night, they wanted to know if we would take and go into another camp. That was up here at North Thompson camp. The first time, as I knew, they'd put anybody into a camp. And we went up here to this camp in first thing in the morning after we'd had breakfast in town. And when we got into this this camp, we seen there was old wooden bunks, old straw mattress. On the cookhouse door, it had here the army rations and no more. So we took them down, we took out here the mattresses, we set fire to them in the yard, we went down here to the foreman of the camp and we said, look, we need beds, proper dishes, and proper food, and make good and sure you've got lots of beef steaks and lots of ham and eggs, because if not, you're not going to keep us in the camp. So we said, I haven't got a phone. Well, we said, look, we'll let you go down to town. I'll think of the name of the camp later. Let you go down here to the town there and phone in. And if you can't get it and you don't phone in, don't bother about coming back to the camp, because they might panic to put you in the river on a raft going down the on North Thompson River here. But that's what's going to happen. So tell them while you're on the phone. That's going. At 4 o'clock the next morning, they sent us up here meals for that day. And the 4 o'clock in the morning, coming down here from Edmonton with the passenger, they unloaded mattresses, beds, pots and pans, cups and saucers of the real dinky dye, not the tin ones or anything like that, because all those had gone into the North Thompson, so they'd never fished them out. And we stayed there for 6 months.
And this was in what, 1931?
This was in the 1931, beginning of 32.
Then already you were aware that if there was a concerted effort to get better conditions, that it was possible.
It was possible, because there was 35 of us went into that camp, and we wasn't all you know, organized to, not until we found out we were going to get this army food. And that organized us fast enough. We just said, well, as one voice, that's what we're going to do, is demand food if we're going to stop in the camp. We were supposed to go up there for work. But then after we got thinking about it, we figured, well, why should we work? We'd work if they give us 50 cents an hour. If we work free, we'll never get no money. So at the time, we was offered $7 a month to go out and blast rock. This was supposed to be the wage from the provincial government. And anybody who couldn't blast rock, well, they was to be given here $5 a month. So we said, well, we'll put a stop to that. We want 50 cents an hour, and that's what we struck for in this camp. And so they quietly left us there for 6 months, fighting here for 50 cents an hour. And when the weather broke in April, the mounties come up and says, all right, you're on your own. Out you go. Well, before the mounties come up, the cook of the camp, he told us, he says, I hear the mounties is coming up to take all you boys out. So we had stocks of beef and pork and butter and stuff already in the camp. We're not going to leave that there. So we rode it across the river, and we lived here off of that by going down here to Kamloops for about 2 weeks. The Legion in Kamloops knew that we were coming through to Kamloops, so they put machine guns on the bridges to stop us from crossing the bridges. So we stayed in the Indian Reserve across there until we decided, well, we're going to protest sufficient between Vancouver, and then we had another bunch of people who was coming in from the other camps, so they withdrew the machine guns, all that purpose to let us go across the river to catch the next trains down towards Vancouver. Well, that was all right, we were on our way to Vancouver. And whatever they done with those camps from then on, I don't know. But when we got into Vancouver, we found here the thing was changing fast. There was a guy in there by the name of Art Evans, and he sort of politely told us at the time, you guys are not going to get nowhere, get no food, get nothing unless you learn to live together, move together, unite as you stand, and the time as you come to that organizational basis, then you can demand where you go, whether it's in the camps or whether it's here in town. But at the present time, to see whether you're really united, we want some people here to take on helping to get here the married men and the married people in town here conditions. And at that time was, I think the married people was wanting relief. In fact, there wasn't relief. And there was also some of them was being turned out of the homes. And he helped to organize here us guys to go and stand on picket lines and surround the house to keep the sheriff and the rest of them from turning them out. He helped to get here the married people while we was on picket lines for them, of getting the married people here putting in windows. They couldn't take the windows away here from the sheriff because he took them off here the house, and they belonged here to the house. So we went and got here other windows. And he seen that he was a carpenter too, I think, at the time. He see the other windows and the other doors got put on the house, so everything went happy as far as that is concerned. And we would not lay the people out, the whole of them out, because if they did, well then they could have the rights to go in there and take over the house. So the people was kept in there, and they was educated by that and a few more of the others to stay in the house and look after them and let the other guys on the outside, the pickets, do the bringing of the feeding and the goods. We stayed for that all, for pretty near all that summer into the fall. Then a bunch of us got tired out of there, and we had to go, they wouldn't give us any more relief, we had to go out here into the camps. We went out into the camps and, well, we still asked them here for the 50 cents an hour, and no 50 cents an hour coming, but lots of work if you wanted to do it. Well, we didn't see any reason to do work as long as we wasn't going to be paid for it. And I think that and a bunch of them stayed in town and got the workers, I think, I won't be sure now, Workers League or something. The first organization moving for the unemployed,
the Workers Unity League.
Workers Unity League got back going. I thought so that any of us guys who got pitched out of the camp, we could come back here to the quarters and get to know what's happening in the other camps, and get all the aiders we needed to get back out to another camp, even if we had to change the names. And we used to change the names quite often to get out to those camps. But I found out here that Nixon was at, and quite a bunch here in town, but especially at, he had to be a man that had good organizational ideas and bases to be able to knit all us nitwits together, opposed to get us here to demonstrate of going out to the camp, sticking up here for 50 cents an hour, and demanding the rights of what we should have had in Canada long ago.
Well, you actually were learning for some of the young, not for the old necessarily, what trade unionism meant. That really was a very
that
basis
was,
foundation of my father's organization.
That was the basis for it, and especially not to go to work here for slave dues, to stand up and fight here for at least 50 cents an hour. And that was pretty lousy at that time, but we couldn't even budge him from that, not until we was, by Art and the Bunch Armies was the strategy committee in town, proving to us that we must go back to these camps organize the camps and keep bringing in all, either half the camp or three quarters of the camp, every so often a post to show them that we still did have the power, to show the authority that we still needed that 50 cents an hour. Then we'd go back out to the camps again, and finally, in I think it was about 2 years later, we had the camps sufficiently organized with the different runners coming in, same as Art and Kelly and a few more of them, coming there through here, the camps as moving organizers, I think they used to call them at that time. And giving us speeches in the camps, what was happening in town, what was happening through the country. And it was only that kind of thing has kept us guys here from going complete nuts in there, because we figured we were here for that. Have nothing to do.
There wasn't anything that made you feel like life was going to change. It appeared that this was the sum total of your existence.
We was totally forgotten. As long as we didn't keep on organizing and going into town with the groups to find out, and having the runners coming out from camps to tell us here how it was. And we also had here a paper set up in town. Not we, but Art and the group in town had papers set up here in town, as they shipped these papers out at first to give us here a rundown on just what was happening. And it looked pretty prosperous at those times. But we still stood by the 50 cents an hour. And when the boss come along here to want us to do the drilling or the work here in the camp, well, there was no work until 50 cents an hour was gone. We never did get that 50 cents an hour, but there was no work done in there either.
You talked about drilling. Are we talking about actual military drilling?
Oh, no, this was drilling here for the holes in the rock, for the mining.
So you were talking really about quite physical labor they would have liked you to have done for nothing.
Mm-hmm.